Democratic candidate for Senate, Sheila Simon, joining us in the studio. First off, it's good to see you again.
Hey, good to see you. Always fun to be here and to know that there are people who pay attention to governmental issues listening in. I like that about you and your folks.
That is one of the things I enjoyed about my job.
Yeah.
And they are. They are participating. They are watching. They are compiling evidence instead of going, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and go off track first thing.
Go for it.
Somebody asked me, well, so how do you feel about the upcoming election? I said, first off, that's part of the problem. It's not how I feel. It should be how I think.
Mm-hmm.
We feel our way through problems these days, and I don't mean that in the tactile sense. We should be thinking about it and then allow our feelings to be derived from that, because really largely in the state of Illinois, what we're talking about is a math problem that has to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody right now is going, what about my grandma in a nursing home? That's not a math problem. And I understand that. But we do. More going out than's coming in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all the time. So now, that was my diatribe, okay?
No,
because
I feel
we feel is little or nothing to do with this.
Yeah. And it's important. The reason I like your show and I like readers of newspapers is that it's important to think about these things for more than 30 seconds, to get more than that first impression, to actually ask some questions, expect some answers, expect some participation from the candidates before you make your decision.
Right, instead of, we're going to go up and do a better job.
Right.
Oh, man, a cliche.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because we're beyond cliches in this state, Sheila.
Oh, yeah.
We are beyond. We need to work together. All right. Now I understand that statement and the cliche that it is. But let's take that we've got to work together, because that is a given.
Mm-hmm.
That system's designed to work together, even though it's inherently adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
It is designed to work together, much like the judicial system, Professor.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But the fact is, we have to do something. We have to do something besides work together. We've got to come up with a solution. How is that going to happen?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have looked at that as well in great detail, as you might expect. And there's two very firm viewpoints. So we have the Speaker Madigan's point of view, Governor Rauner's point of view, and it seems that each of them has drawn a line in the sand in the way my brother and I used to draw a line down the back seat of the car. No, he stepped over my side.
And it's
of the
interesting
line.
Because that petulant nature I find irritating.
Yes, I agree. And so what I've looked at is what, as a Democrat, what in Governor Rauner's turnaround agenda can I support? And there's a lot of things that I draw the line on, too, right? I'm a strong supporter of labor unions. I'm a union member myself, and I see that they add strength to the state. But I think that he's right on redistricting, for example. It's interesting to hear Donald Trump talk about elections being rigged, and I think he's all wrong on that. Right, I think he is totally wrong that ballot boxes are being stuffed or something like that. But there is one way that we come close to rigging our elections, and that's the redistricting process. That's one of the reasons I was on the board of the Independent Map Amendment Group. We won't get to vote on it, but we've built some public pressure, and I think we will continue to build public pressure in that direction.
But the person who appears to stop redistricting in the state of Illinois is Mike Madigan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, all appearances and you know, a group that never cashed the checks that it was given to. One lawyer files one lawsuit, and the whole system is derailed, even though we have this huge pile of signatures.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
a lot of people in the state want redistricting reform, and that is pressure that the legislature will have to respond to. I was part of the reform commission that got limits on campaign contributions. I can tell you that Speaker Madigan was not excited about that. I can tell you that President Cullerton was not excited about it. But to his credit, President Cullerton, although he opposed those caps on contributions, worked with the reform commission, and we eventually got that passed because of the strong public support that everyone in the legislature knew about. I think we're at the same point now. There's incredible public pressure for redistricting reform. I think we might see some action in the legislature to move that direction.
You know, this rigged, you know, in Illinois, I don't call it rigged. I say the fix is in. That it seems predetermined outcomes. And not because of legal precedent, because it's Illinois. I mean, do you ever get that sense, too? I mean, do you find that frustrating, whether it's a court or a ruling or something said in a piece of legislation? That Illinois is at some kind of fundamental dysfunction.
Well, certainly there's a lot that's not going on, and that's one of the reasons why I'm excited about running.
So you see dysfunction as a lack of action.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see
and,
that.
I'd say I'm fundamentally an optimist about the democratic process, that it's not pretty, and it's not fast, and it doesn't get you everything that you want, but it is so fundamentally better than any other system that we can possibly imagine that has been tried in other places around the world.
See, now there's the interesting word once again, Professor.
Yes.
The system.
Mm-hmm.
But if the system is inhabited by political creatures,
mm-hmm.
the system doesn't work. The system, it was designed to have a certain kind of person in it, a citizen who's concerned about the general welfare. That system can be thoroughly maligned and misused if the wrong people are in the correct positions.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I have supported, since I was on the Reform Commission, term limits for legislative leaders. As voters, we can term limit out. We can choose to not reelect someone. We can vote for their opponent. And that's an important power for us to keep. I don't want to limit our ability to reelect Dick Durbin, for example. I'm a big fan of Dick Durbin, and if he's going to run again, I'm going to vote for him again. But the legislative leaders, the president of the Senate, the speaker of the House, the minority leaders in both parties, in the minority party, we as citizens don't get to elect them. And that's where I think we do need to have turnover. We need to have term limits for those positions so that there's some change, so that there are people who are thinking about, I want to be in a position of power to accomplish A, B, and C, rather than I want to be in a position of power to permanently hold on to power. And I think sometimes that's what's going on right now, and I think that is a flaw in the
system.
Power
and profit in some cases. You know,
that's a possibility.
Because
yeah.
money, power, kind of interchangeable in today's
there's
economy.
There's a lot of hand-in-hand there. Yeah.
Right, that goes on. Fundamental change in Illinois is going to be required. I wonder, you know, you've seen the messaging. I don't have to tell you about it. You see one commercial where there's a cartoon and Rauner's shaking down the Capitol. And then you've got the Republicans saying Madigan's behind the wheel and he wants this, this, right? Rauner's been there 2 years. Madigan's been there 30 years. The people of Illinois can do math. Rauner didn't cause the problems in the state of Illinois. He may have exacerbated the confrontational nature of it, but he's not been shaking down Illinois for 30 years. And doing that in messaging is sophistry at its best.
And you know, I'd like to point out, in terms of what you look at, you certainly have a long record of Speaker Madigan being there. And every year, until we've gotten to the election of Bruce Rauner, we've had a state budget. Now, there are flaws in the budget, but we've had a budget. And in Southern Illinois, we know all too well about the problems with not having a budget. We have a university that's appealing to people across the country, saying, come study here in Carbondale, make a four-year commitment. And the state can't make more than a 6-month commitment. That's a flaw, and that's assignable to everyone in Springfield.
And people in Springfield tell me that the person who wants those 6-month budgets and may very well continue to make that happen is Mike Madigan, not Bruce Rauner. And that's Democrats telling me that if we don't get something, Madigan, if we don't get something worked out with Rauner, we're not going to have a budget while he's in office. We're only going to do these incremental budgets, and that. Whether you're a school superintendent or you're running the humane shelter and everything in between, or your local community college to the state's attorney's office, or whether they get their checks.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's everybody's affected. Everybody.
That is completely unacceptable. And that's one of the reasons why I am looking to be a part of that conversation in Springfield, is to make sure that people up there know what it's like here in Southern Illinois. How we are connected to state government in a very direct way. You know, there's often a discussion about should we have privatization of state functions. Well, we, to a large extent, have that right now. We have the state that pays grants and pays part of private agencies that do social service work across the state. And because of that cooperation, the state gets great services at a really low price. But the problem is then when we hold back on that, we're cutting off these very thinly funded groups that are doing great work, like the Women's Center in Carbondale, right? When you say we're not going to be able to give you a whole year's budget, that really causes so many more problems than it solves, right? So the importance of having a budget is something that people in Springfield, legislative leaders, other legislators need to know our perspective. And our perspective is a little bit different from other parts of the state. We have a more direct connection with the state, and that has to be known.
But your opponent says that your values do not represent your district.
Well, he's wrong. And election years come out with a lot of exaggerations, a lot of outright lies. I respect my opponent. He has he's got a good reason for running for office. I disagree with him on many things, but I respect his service in the military. It has caused him to live outside of Southern Illinois for most of his career. I've lived here. I've been here. I've raised my husband and I have raised our daughters here. I am not out of step with the values of Southern Illinois. I know we need a budget. I know we need better school funding, right? That's a profound difference between me and my opponent. He says the school funding formula that Senator Menar has been talking about is one that creates winners and losers. Well, that's the line from the Republicans in the suburbs, where they have the very well-funded schools. They don't want to be losing anything.
I've heard Democrats say it too, though. I mean, I have. I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about something as being a professor.
Yeah.
About the school funding thing?
Yeah.
Why the hell are we still buying books? Literally. If we cannot afford them, why are we buying them? We have the internet. We have Kindles. We have digital thing. Who are we paying all this money for that we can't afford to have a book that actually says we have an international space station? A mother comes to me and says, this is the textbook my daughter's reading out of. It says sometime we're going to build a space station.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought is, why are we buying books? We have great capacity. We have the internet. Somebody's making money. They want to keep making money. Well, we could make changes here. As a professor, I think you know this. I know you do.
Well, I think one of the answers, we know that we in general have access to the internet. Not every school in Illinois does. And certainly not every child in every school in Illinois has a computer. So it's a financial stratification, right? If we move to online education before everyone has the capacity, we're saying some kids
tough
are going to be able
you.
To do homework at home.
Winners
and
losers.
Kids, exactly. Yeah, there you go.
It's just one of the little things. What about the lockbox amendment? Where do you stand on this?
I think we're a winner for focusing on this issue. And it's not just transportation funding. But if we honor the funds that are set aside for particular things, then we're doing our job better.
Are we talking about the pension? Or are we talking about transportation?
No.
You know, are we talking about the 911 fund from the taxes from our cell phones? Or are we talking about transportation? Because you're right. When you alluded to this just a moment ago, mm-hmm. It's not just about this when it comes to sacking certain portions of this is designated for the...
Yeah.
And let's take it.
Right. The process is called sweeping. And if a group doesn't use the funds that are set aside, they're often going to be taken to fund other things in the budget. And in general, it's a good idea to have taxes available for needs as we have them. But sometimes there are taxes that are very specifically targeted to a need. And the gas tax is one of them. If you're buying gasoline, it's really likely that you're putting it in your vehicle and that you are someone who's using the roads, and so the tax there should return to the roads. When we deviate from that, we lose some of the connection, some of that sense of, we're not happy to pay the taxes, but at least we understand it. We get where it's going,
Hunters,
and we approve of that.
Tell me the same thing. You know, this additional thing on the ammunition thing, I don't mind. If that my fishing license, if that helps me have a better, I do not mind. The problem is it isn't spent that way.
Exactly.
Instead, it's about goose control on a golf course.
Well, and the DNR funding, there's a lot of money that's set aside that way in the Department of Natural Resources. And boy, as a state, we are the big losers if we don't make sure that is invested where it should be.
Second order effect is that people lose faith in the government because they didn't do what they said they were going to do, and we need more money because we didn't do this, so we need that from you.
Yeah.
And the second order of effect is undermining the faith in the government, and quite frankly, we're on stilts already.
Oh, we are. You know, it's interesting that I still often hear, talked just yesterday with a couple on the phone who wanted to know why the lottery money doesn't go to education. This is an old issue, and in fact, the lottery money does go to education, but the other money that would have been there.
The general fund.
Yeah, the other money is taken out. So it does not add to education. It only replaces other dollars.
Actually,
it's a profound disappointment.
I've been actually working on the story since before the lottery.
Okay.
And literally, they're going, you know, Jim Thompson was sued. You remember the TV commercial where he's walking down the street, and our schools will no longer need to be special. We will insure, right? So the money went into the general fund, the money that was already in the education fund. Well, you know, we don't have to do that. I mean, they literally pushed this off into another area so they could fiddle with it. But you and I both know the time may come where the fiddling with it is crucial. But this is maybe the boy crying wolf and kind of a modern version. You've done it so many times, we don't trust you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That we have Absolutely. To take control away from you.
Yeah.
Because the people of Illinois are so disenfranchised. It doesn't take long for me to go to Polk County, Union County, Saline County, Williamson County, Union County, stand next to a creek, around a bonfire, or in a restaurant, or having a cherry pie and a cup of coffee in Golconda, that I see people so mad that little pieces of foam start flying out of their mouth. And this election and the messaging has exacerbated the situation even further. And they're looking for someone to fix it. Can you fix it, Sheila? Can you help fix it?
That is exactly why I'm running, is that there is so much that's broken in the state right now. That it is incredibly motivating. You know, I love my job teaching at the law school, and it would be the easiest thing for me to continue teaching there. I think I do good work and have a positive influence on the students, but I see what's going on, what's not going on in the state, and I feel I just can't sit back and say, I'll let someone else try and figure that out. I think my experience in local government, I learned a lot serving on the Carbondale City Council, learned a lot serving as Lieutenant Governor, and my ability to have an impact there, I think we can make some changes. I am a very determined person, and I'm determined to get the state moving in a better direction.
Yeah. You know, determination, I call it the Great Wall problem. I compare it to the Great Wall of China.
Uh-huh.
All right, it's already built. Would the state of Illinois have the will to take it down again or to build something like it? It has nothing to do with bricks and wall and mm-hmm, Donald Trump mm-hmm. in South America. The will to do something large and over a period of time successfully. Because Illinois' lack of will and self-discipline from a political standpoint has allowed this to happen.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It's one of the flaws of a democratic system. In that we turn over our leaders regularly. In Illinois, we have either 2 or 4 year terms. And so people, elected leaders, have incentive to make things look good in the short run. But what I'm encouraging folks to do is ask about the short run, but ask about what's going to happen 10 years down the road. Ask about the impact 30 years down the road. If we would have been doing that along the way, we would not be where we are today. We have an obligation to our kids, our grandchildren, if we're going to have any, to say, okay, what are we doing now? How does it impact me right now? But what's it going to do to the future? Am I essentially using the state's credit card to my benefit that I'm going to be really sorry to have to pay back later?